Good morning. If you do not attend with us on a regular basis, we are so glad that you made the choice to be with us today. We would like to get to know you, and we invite you to come back later today at 5 p.m. Please know that you are welcomed at Laurel Heights, and understand, please, that the whole purpose of our existence and the purpose of this assembly is to honor God and to serve Jesus Christ, His Son. We will do that now by opening God's Word to the book of Ephesians. Please open to chapter 2 in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. And after a brief introduction, I'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul had been to Ephesus. There were faithful Christians who composed the church in Ephesus. Additional instruction came to them from God through Paul in written form here in this letter to the Ephesians. Paul wanted to be certain they understood the rich mercy of God that rescued them from sin and gave them new life in Jesus Christ. He expressed it with these words in Ephesians chapter 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Sometimes you will hear someone say, I want to be saved. First of all, we rejoice that a person would have such thoughts and would express such a desire. Because multitudes of people do not well consider the subject of salvation, being content to live out their lives without regard to the will of God and without authentic interest in going to heaven. It is refreshing, therefore, when someone expresses their interest in being saved. We are pleased when we hear someone say, I want to be saved. Yet we know it is not enough just to say that. The interest in being saved needs to be well informed by Scripture. What has God said about us being saved? Are there questions that come up that need Bible answers? We need to be informed, and we can use our Bibles to explore what it means to be saved. I want to be saved, but the statement is a statement that begs clarity. We're going to use our Bibles this morning in search of that clarity. Starting here, saved from what? See, the word saved and the concept of salvation implies being saved from, being rescued from, being delivered and removed from what? That needs clarity. Do you still have your Bible open at Ephesians chapter 2? And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. That's what we need to be saved from. When the Bible talks about being saved, it is being saved from sin. Described here as being dead in trespasses and sins. What is sin? Sin is a departure from God. It is an attitude which corresponds to action or inaction that says, I'm not going to obey God. God, as the sovereign creator, has revealed how His human creatures should live. God has given instruction for good attitudes and thoughts, and from those good attitudes and thoughts, good actions. God has revealed and illustrated over and over in His book what is pure, what is honest, what is valuable. God has defined marriage. He has specified the kind of worship that He wants, and He has warned us of self-destructive choices. On and on. God has directed us about relationships and priorities and speech and motive. When we ignore His perfect will in pursuit of contrary desires and lust, or when we think that we are exempt from His law, that we are free and we have permission to disobey Him, that's sin. And that's what we need to be saved from. Paul speaks of it in Ephesians 2, reminding the Ephesians, they once lived in sin. And here's how bad living in sin is. Paul uses this word, dead. Through our sin, we separate ourselves from God with such dramatic distance, it can be said that we are dead. And that means we have no life with God. In sin, we are following the course of this world. We are participating with the sons of disobedience who live at this vast distance from God. We are living in, Paul said, the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body, and we are acting as children who deserve punishment. Paul wrote, children of wrath. So, if you say, I want to be saved, and this is what you want to be saved from, good for you. You are thinking correctly. Be sure you are clear about it. In the Bible, being saved is being saved from sin, with all the ruin it brings into your life and with all the consequences that follow. When Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome, he talked about their salvation from sin, saying to them in Romans 6 and verse 17, you used to be slaves of sin. If you want to quit being a slave of sin, and that desire is manifest in your words, I want to be saved, you are thinking correctly, and the Bible says you can be saved from sin. Thanks be to God for that. His grace, His Son, and His instructions. But let's look at something else that is part of this. You want to be saved? For whom do you want to be saved? Is it just about you? Can we explore that a moment? The other day, one of the most popular evangelical preachers handed his wife the microphone, and this went viral all over the news stations and the internet. And I will tell you right away that this popular evangelical preacher who's on TV all the time, I do not believe is preaching the gospel given by the apostles of Christ. He's making promises God didn't make, and in his preaching he is completely ignoring some very plain teaching of Scripture. But the other day, his wife was preaching, and she said, "When we obey God, we're not doing it for God. We're doing it for ourselves. You're doing it for yourself." I want you to turn, please, in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians and find chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 9 and 10. "For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." Paul is describing the conversion of these people from the sin of idolatry that they were steeped in, and he describes their conversion as turning to God. And then he says, to serve the living and true God. And then if you'll notice, probably on the same page, in chapter 2 in verse 12, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12, he charged them to walk in a manner worthy of God, who has called us into His own kingdom and glory. And then I want you to listen in 1 Thessalonians 4 to the first few verses there. "Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus, that this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in the matter, because the Lord is an avenger of all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you, for God has called us not for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this disrespects not man, but God, who gave His Holy Spirit to you." What is this all about? God. In your understanding of conversion, never leave God out. In your understanding of conversion, never leave God out. It is not just for you, as the popular preacher's wife said, to get out of sin and escape wrath and have a good life here. What is primary in conversion is to serve and honor your Creator, who deserves our obedience and who called us out of sin to serve Him. It says, unto His glory. In Isaiah 42 and verse 5, God says, "I am the Lord God. I created the heavens like an open tent above. I made the earth and everything that grows on it. I am the source of life for all who live on this earth. So listen to what I say." The Creator says, "Listen to what I say," Isaiah 42:5. If you want to be saved, be certain that you're clear about being saved from sin for God. He's first. You need to want to be saved from sin for God, unto His glory, to please Him and to be His child. Let's study further. Still, at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 again. You want to be saved? To do what? Once you leave sin, what will you do then? How will it be different after baptism in your life? Can I take us back to that passage again? In 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10, listen for a phrase that I shall emphasize. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Hearing the gospel, turning from idols, their intention was to serve the living and true God. So think of this now, out of sin into a life of serving God. That's biblical conversion. If your concept of being saved is merely, I sure don't want to go to hell, your concept is not complete enough. Certainly we'll include that. But if your concept of conversion is, I sure don't want to go to hell, your concept is incomplete. The idea all through the New Testament is not just avoidance of personal punishment, but more importantly, to serve your Creator, to belong to Christ, and for that relationship to be expressed in your daily service to God. You remember what we read in Ephesians chapter 2, where it said, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Once you've taken the steps out of sin in obedience to the gospel through repentance and baptism, what then? Walking in good works to serve the living and true God. Be clear about conversion. From sin, out of that sin by obeying the gospel, for God, to serve Him, to walk in newness of life, to focus your mind and heart on the things above and not on the things on the earth. One more place I want to go with this. One more place I want to go with this. I want to be saved for how long? I want to refer to the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. Jesus told this story about seed being put in soil. In his story, there are four plots of ground, but only one kind was receptive and ready and rich enough for the seed to take hold and grow. He says that he was talking about the Word of God entering the minds of men, but only when the mental soil is good and honest can the seed take hold and produce. That's the essence of that parable. Now, as Jesus explains the parable in Matthew 13, 21, He identifies the various deficiencies of soil. And in Matthew 13, 21, Jesus speaks of some who endure for a little while, but under pressure and temptation, they immediately fall away. If you want to be saved, make up your mind first how long you intend to stay with God. You have seen what I'm about to describe. We all know what happens. We might as well talk about it. Someone says, I want to be saved. And we rejoice. We review the biblical instruction with them. Yes, I want to be saved. And we baptize them. And there is initial zeal and emotion when they are baptized. We see them again at the next service. And maybe the one after that. And maybe a couple after that, and then they're gone, and we call them and there is no response, they're gone. If baptistries could talk, baptistries might say, where are all these people who've been through these waters, said they want to be saved? If you're considering salvation, be serious and thoughtful and count the cost of the commitment of your life. Stop and think about how long you intend to stay with God. Jesus said to His disciples in John 15, abide in Me. That means you're going to live there. Starting to be a member of the body of Christ and then cutting yourself off is never recommended. If you are serious, you want to be saved, you need to factor into that desire everything the Bible says about genuine conversion. Saved from what? For whom? To do what? For how long? I want to read a couple of passages and bring this to a conclusion. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. How then will they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Romans 6, please. Verses 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. When you objectively look at these passages, and then you factor into your study everything before these passages, between these passages, and after these passages, it becomes clear what our initial response to God ought to be. Hearing the gospel of Christ, believing in Jesus Christ, confessing that belief, repenting and being baptized, you become a Christian, and you are privileged to live your life as a child of God, walking in the good works God prepared for you and revealed in His Word. There is one more question that will require no elaboration at all. One more very quick question I would ask you to think about while we're singing, if you are not among those who've obeyed the gospel. When? If you haven't been baptized into Christ, we can help you with that decision today. I'm going to leave you with these words of Jesus Christ in Luke 6:46. He said, why call Me Lord and do not do the things that I say? While we stand together and as we sing.